afternoon, Bay Area. Welcome to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden, where every week we tap into the Bay Area art scene and bring you rich conversations with artists. On today's show, an Oakland muralist for the Warriors encourages us to dream big. Then we visit the West Oakland studio of a painter who created pieces for the Valkyries, and a San Francisco artist tells us a touching story about a Muni driver who changed his life. Today's show is all about visual artists, basketball, and buses. That's all coming up. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. Right on the corner of 22nd Street and Broadway in downtown Oakland is a beautiful mural called Hoop Dreams. Timothy B. is a muralist from Oakland who created it. His work focuses on uplifting African indigenous communities, especially the youth. The Warriors commissioned him to paint the mural in honor of the 2025 NBA All-Star Game. I must say that the mural spoke to the kid in me who used to daydream in her East Oakland bedroom about being a writer one day. In May of 2025, I met up with Timothy B. right in front of the mural to talk about his artwork and dreaming during hard times. So come with me back in time to downtown Oakland. So I'm here on the corner of Broadway and 22nd with artist Timothy B. And I am looking at this incredible, incredible mural. First of all, Timothy, it's good to see you.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Again, this piece, I can't even call it a piece, because it takes up a whole building. And this mural was commissioned by the Warriors?
Yep. This mural was for All-Star Weekend.
It's incredible. Is there a name for it?
Hoop Dreams.
I grew up in East Oakland. And you grew up in Oakland?
I grew up by the lake. Okay. Yeah, Harrison, Garland View, Zach. Okay. You know, okay. Lake. Okay. Lake Mary.
I grew up in Melrose. I'm old school, so yeah. I still say East 14.
Yeah,
East
14. As you should. Yeah. As you should.
So when I saw this and this theme of dreams, it just really resonated with me.
Yeah.
So it's a kid. It's a black boy. He's laying on, I guess, his bed.
Yeah.
And he has his headphones on. And he has a basketball pushed into the air.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Like when you were a kid and you dreaming and yes, yeah. And you probably seen himself on the court or you know, wherever he wants to be later in life. So where did the concept come from?
Well, I'm that kid. You know, I had dreams of becoming an all-star. You know, I had hoop dreams all through my life. So when the Warriors came to me with this concept or with this idea to, you know, paint for All-Star Weekend, I started to reflect on me doing All-Star Weekend of 2000, year 2000, when Vince Carter, you know, won the dunking contest. I started thinking about all my favorite players, Allen Iverson, Steve Francis, Tracy McGrady, and so on. And just, you know, just my basketball experience during that time. Everything was about basketball, you know, when I was a kid. Like, I used to eat, live, breathe basketball, you know, even more so than art at the time. So
the mural, I mean, it was really a story.
Yeah.
So when you start on 22nd, I see this old school TV with an antenna,
exactly.
All-Star 2000.
Yeah.
So you're taking this back. And I see Bill Russell's jersey, number 6, hanging up on his wall. I see posters. Who's that? Who's that, the rapper?
Too Short.
That's Too Short. Okay.
Yeah.
So I see, like, yes, I see Too Short. I see a Tupac poster. So
yeah.
So you done set the scene for the day.
Yeah.
And so then next to him is this beautiful, just facial portrait of this young man, and he's in purple.
Yeah.
Purple and white.
Yeah.
And he has a headband on with 3. Is that like third eye?
It's really so that's really my logo. I only did a piece of it, 'cause I couldn't fit the entire thing on it, but it's a TB, and usually it's a crown on top of it. It's a Dinkra symbol called the wisdom knot. It means ingenuity, patience, strength, and I want to say resilience. And so I try to place that on his headband, you know, to right next to his third eye.
That's deep how it came out like that.
Yeah, thank you.
So, and he has this purple. So why the purple?
Well, the purple just communicate royalty. So This year specifically, I've been trying to like change up my skin tones, you know, do less browns and do more like blues and purples just to communicate that royalty, you know, just within, you know, just within us.
And he looks so intense, and he looks kind of in a dream state.
Yeah.
It's like he's looking at something.
Yeah. He's looking into his future.
Okay, amazing. And so then the next chapter of this story is a basketball player, number 18.
Yeah.
Now is there a number 18?
No.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, and it says Oakland.
Yeah.
And it's in Warriors colors.
Yeah.
Y'all know how I feel about that.
Yeah. I'll feel you.
We missed the Warriors in Oakland.
Yeah.
But at 18, so I thought that was cool too, because I was like, there's not a number 18. There's not a player number 18. Now, who is that man?
All right, so again, this is all inspired by my own journey, my own story. But number 18, that's actually my birthday, born August 18th. So then the character, he actually looked like a good friend of mine.
Yeah. I love that. And then there's the town.
Yeah.
I see the Tribune Tower, Town Biz. I see that archway that's over Lake Merritt.
Yeah.
Which you grew up near Lake Merritt.
Yeah.
I see the basketball court that's from Lake Merritt. And then the sun is setting.
Yeah.
What a beautiful tribute to Oakland.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Which is kind of like, for me, it's like, even though that's the end, but it's like, that's where it all began.
That's where it begins.
That's where it began. How do you see yourself as the dreamer and the artist in this gorgeous work of art?
I see myself as a dreamer and an artist because it started from a dream, and I became this, like, you know, even this well-respected artist, which I never really imagined dream myself to be of becoming, and I became that, you know. So it's like, you know, even though I started as like, I started with hoop dreams, I ended up becoming an all-star muralist, you know. And I think that's amazing, you know, because sometimes, like, you know, life just unveils like, you know, realities that we never could plan for. I hope that this piece will inspire, you know, the youth, you know, just to think bigger than what they could ever imagine. Especially growing up in this city, you know, we limited to certain beliefs, to certain perspectives of ourselves, you know. Like, even myself, you know, I never imagined myself becoming a muralist. You know, I didn't know many muralists, I didn't even know many street artists, you know, but it started with the dream, and I became something bigger than what I could ever imagine for myself. And same with, you know, the community around me. They never seen me becoming this person. You know, I just became. Even some of my family be like, man, Tim, like, what happened? Like, how did you become you? It's like, you know, it's like, man, I can't even put it in words. I'm not sure, you know. But, yeah,
two things. So when you were playing basketball in high school, okay, who'd you play?
Basketball in high school, I played in Stockton at the time.
Okay, so when you were playing basketball in high school, you were drawing too?
Like, I never stopped drawing. Like, drawing was always my way of just expressing whatever I was dealing with, you know. It was my way of just, like, grounding myself, you know. I think that led to me having as much patience as I have today.
You know, we love Oakland, but we know Oakland has its problems. And so, for people like us, it can be daunting sometimes, and it can be hard to dream. And for people who even going through, you know, a lot of things, that may be worse than what we've gone through. Because
yeah.
I know you've had some hardship, like your dad was incarcerated, right,
yeah,
for a long time. I know that had to have been heavy, you know, carrying that.
Still heavy.
It's still heavy. Yeah. He's out, right?
He's out, but, you know, sometimes incarceration is within the mind, you know. So it's like, yeah, his body is free. But now, you know, he got to find a way to free his mind from all that, you know, and that's a challenge, you know, for him to watch, and also to the family to support, you know.
How long has he been out?
I think it's been about 9 years now.
Okay. I look at this piece and it reminds me that, you know, no matter what you're going through, you can still dream.
Yep.
And things are still possible.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. But, you know, even for myself, you know, I think, you know, I'm fortunate to have the type of family I have where I've been able to dream, you know, because it's not like you said, when you're dealing with certain realities, certain, you know, struggles, it's not easy to dream. It's not easy to think beyond the conditions or the environment you're in. You know, I'm grateful to have, again, the mother I had, you know, my grandmother, you know, who is a historian, you know, who always poured information just about, you know, our people, where I've been able to imagine, you know, a future for myself. You know, like, art is a form of escapism for me. You know, so I've been able to escape through the paints, through the pencils, through, you know, the graphites, into a whole different world, you know. And this is my dream. This is part of it, I would say.
So you dream images before you, like, do they come to you in dreams?
I daydream a lot, too. You know, I daydream a lot.
Can we talk about that? I love daydreaming.
Yeah. I'm big on it, you know, like... I'm big on it, you know. A lot of times, you know, my mind just goes. You know, I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer. I'm a manifester, you know. And through my dreams, you know, I manifest the things I feel I deserve. This is what I do full time. You know, I get paid to think, and to, you know, create narratives, to tell our stories, and to imagine the past, present, and future for not just, you know, our people, but for everybody in these environments, you know. So I spend a lot of time in silence. I spend a lot of time listening to music. I spend a lot of time, you know, watching films and, you know, imagining. Yeah, I love it.
Because it's funny, when I was little, I daydreamed a lot. And, like, I would have, you know, like, my parents or elders say, step out of it.
Yeah.
I'm not dreaming anything, like, evil.
Yeah.
Because I'm creative. I'm a writer. Yeah. So my mind is like, yeah. I just love to let it wander and just do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I'm an only child, too. So, like, I really was daydreeming. You only child?
Yeah.
See, that's what... See?
Yeah. For real, though. Yeah.
You know, we have big imagination. Did your grandma want to come in, jumping up? Did you want to jump in on the discussion? You don't have to.
Of course she does.
Oh, Miss Patsy, this radio.
Oh, okay.
So I just want to add, well, so now you, so he said you are a historian.
I am. In context of life, I put things into perspective. I'm a retired elementary, middle school teacher.
And what's your name? I called you Miss Patsy, but it's Patsy.
My name is Patsy Lax Lockhart.
So you taught him a lot of history, like Black history.
My job to teach U.S. history was to teach the history, but conventional history did not include us. So I would use people like John Hope Franklin.
The great historian, yes.
Right. I would use his book as a supplement to what was I was required to teach. My passion is to learn about the history of our people, because we started mankind. And you never know where it goes until you come across a grandson like Timothy, who gives it back to you in ways that you probably would not have known.
So looking at this astounding artwork, this astounding mural, what comes to your mind?
Well, my favorite piece is the young man in the middle. He's a metaphor for, to me, our whole survival. And Tim is a lot like that. He's gone through a lot of challenges, but he's had a lot of celebrations and things to hold in pride. But I do see him that I matter. And you should pay attention to me, because I am from the past and I am your future. And so every time I look at him, my heart beats, my spirit beats. And so I'm just really proud of Tim for capturing that. Tim represents that young man. So he's my oldest grandson. It's a blessing to be able to stand here and look at this image and to listen to Timothy B.
And we see, you know, little Timothy's dreams of hooping.
Yeah.
And then the dreams of greatness turn into art.
Yeah.
What is your dream now?
Yeah, my dreams right now is to, again, have security, you know, when it comes to space, finances, and, you know, travel. You know, I want my family and I to be able to travel wherever we choose and to, you know, have space outside of the States, outside of where we live, you know, cause with everything going on right now in our economy, I don't want to feel stuck here when everything goes down. Like, I'm starting to look into, you know, educating my son in different environments.
Sometimes I tell our listeners to, like, take one moment out of your day to look at something beautiful.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate your work. This is definitely something that is beautiful, this mural. And just thank you for making Oakland beautiful.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. You know, and I want to add something. So I just completed another piece at Oakland International High School off 48th and Webster. And I think that piece is just as powerful as this piece. I love this piece, but I kind of like that piece a little bit more. That's one of my favorites right now.
Okay, so you know I'm gonna definitely go see that.
Yeah, yes. Definitely, it's fire.
That was muralist Timothy B. and his grandmother, retired school teacher Patsy Lax Lockhart. You can see Timothy's Warriors mural, Hoop Dreams, on 22nd Street and Broadway in downtown Oakland. Go to the Sights and Sounds page on KALW.org to see photos of the mural, but I highly encourage you to see Timothy's work in person. Again, this interview first aired in May of 2025. Coming up, more art and basketball, but this time it's about the Valkyries. Stay with us. You're listening to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. In 2025, the Valkyries made sports history. They're the first expansion team in the WNBA to make it to the playoffs in their premier season. Taylor Smalls is a painter who uses knives to create large, beautiful, bold, colorful images of Black women. The Valkyries commissioned her to create a few pieces. Taylor is an alum of the University of San Francisco. Her work also hangs in spaces of major brands like the Oprah Winfrey Network, Pixar, and Kaiser Permanente. I spoke with her at her art studio in West Oakland to learn more about the inspiration behind her work. This interview first aired in September of 2025.
Hi.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I am really good. Thank you for letting us come.
Absolutely.
Because I know some artists wouldn't do that, and that's totally cool, you know. So I wasn't sure you would say yes when I asked, because I was like, this is your creative, you know, haven, right?
So. Yeah, it is. It's not only my creative haven, but it's also my home.
Right.
And so I have a live-work space, yeah. And no, I really enjoy welcoming people into it so they can really see, like, where I live and work and thrive every day.
Yeah.
So I'm happy that you're here.
I mean, it's really incredible. So we're in West Oakland on a busy street. So folks, you might hear some car noise in the background. And I'm looking at these incredibly high ceiling with art, just gorgeous art going all the way up to the sky, it feels like. And it's just really amazing just to see the work that you've created. And before we even talk about your paintings, I'm just impressed with you just as interior designer.
Thank you.
So I love the vintage here. Like, we're sitting on like this old school kind of goldish, almost velvety texture sofa. Mm-hmm. You have record player. I see a cassette recorder. I just want people to get an idea of what I see.
And
what we're sitting in. So we're like in her living area.
I believe a lot of people know this about me, but I was in architecture for 7 years. I take space and the creation of space and the curation of space very seriously.
Yeah.
I studied architecture and psychology in school.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do believe that your built environment, what you wake up to, what you live in, what you spend your time in really affects your mood, what you make, who you are, what you want to see in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're sitting in a space that's basically my gallery space, where I have a lot of my pieces, which feels a little gaudy sometimes. It feels a little silly sometimes, but this is what I want to be surrounded by. I want to be surrounded by you know, very strong and soft Black women.
Yes. And I notice these Black women are different shades. So they're not necessarily just brown skin. They're purple, they're greenish and goldish color, blue. And I thought that's really unique, because I know too, what was that painter who painted Michelle Obama? I can't remember her name.
And there
was
Amy Sherald.
And I remember there was controversy from the Black community because she didn't use a brown skin.
Correct.
And so I'm seeing these really bright, vibrant colors of these women's skin tone.
Yes.
So why did you want to take that approach when painting Black women?
That's a beautiful question. Thank you for asking that, because that's actually at the core of my work and why I paint in the style that I do and why I paint with such vivid color. I'm just going to say this. Amy Sherald, legend. Yes. Like, iconic. She's amazing. So many people paint Black and brown skin in a dull tone. And I love color. I see Black women's personality very colorfully from my upbringing, from my family, from Black women who surround me currently. And I just want to basically exemplify their aura in a way where I'm actually just showing the color that I see in them.
Yeah.
And that's, like, you know, exuded to me. And so I have always painted with bright colors and vibrant colors and joy and happiness and strength and softness all at the same time. But I love to sit with women and get to know them, because, so one example is I painted Robin McBride, who owns Black Girl Magic and the McBride sisters and all of that.
The wine.
Exactly. Yeah. And I painted her in this, like, really beautiful teal color, almost like a turquoise teal. And when she came to the show to see the piece, she came with her daughter. They stood in front of the piece, and Robin teared up, and her daughter said, "I don't know how you knew this about my mom, but this is the color of our house. This is the color of our walls."
Wow.
And so I love, like, sitting with people, reading them, and really showing, like, the color that they are. Like, Robin is such a boss, but she is, like, this, like, steady strength and this cool presence. I, again, in contemporary art, I think that we're typically shown grayed or dulled or muddied, even though our skin is so pretty.
So many shades.
Comes in so many shades. Yes.
We're here with your cat. And yes, I love your cat. Your cat just plopped on the couch, sat right between us.
Little Daisy.
And was like, "I am here." but she's
sweet.
A good cat because she's quiet.
Too. She's so quiet.
Yeah, but she sat right between us and was like, "I'm getting all the love." So, you know, you talk about these images and characteristics of Black women that you paint. And so you were commissioned to paint a piece, a couple pieces for the Valkyries.
Yes.
Pronounce was Oriflame?
Oriflame.
Oriflame. And so that was given out for Juneteenth, right? At a game for Juneteenth. And I'm looking at a portion of that piece. Well, tell us what you see.
This piece, actually, just a quick background on the actual original of Oriflame, is I went through a moment in my professional career where I got a lot of yeses from a lot of people and projects and decided to do it all. And I burnt out, and I saw that reflected in my work. I was using a lot of color, like like almost every crayon in the crayon box kind of thing. But I realized I needed to take a breather, and I just needed to dial things back and work monochromatically.
Okay.
And so it was kind of a meditation for me to just use one color and try and make it make sense on a canvas and still show and express exactly what I had been doing or wanted to be doing, but in one colorway.
Yeah.
So this piece was a first for me, working monochromatically. And what I love about the serendipity of everything is that this colorway happens to be the colorway of the Valkyries.
Right.
And they are a first in a lifetime. Like this is the first for the WNBA in the Bay Area.
Yeah.
Yeah, creating this piece probably 4 years ago, I wanna say, they happened to want this piece.
Okay.
To be created into a Valkyrie.
That's amazing that you created this piece 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was in the color of the Valkyries.
Yes.
You had no idea.
No clue.
We had an idea WNBA team was probably going to come here, but had no clue it would be that color.
Correct.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. I think that this piece is really fitting for the Valkyries because it's an androgynous woman or person, somebody who can be taken anyway. And I think that there's so much strength in this piece, and there's so much, you almost like see resilience in it and power.
Yeah.
It was an amazing thing to work off of or and work from, I guess, as a seed.
So you have the original piece that's in that lavenderish, but I see like some rich purples too.
Yes.
Yeah, in the piece.
Yeah.
And the person, their head's kind of to the side, not quite giving side eye, but kind of giving this look like, you don't want to mess with me.
A little cocky.
Yeah, a little cocky. Like, kind of like, you don't want to mess with me. Kind of like, who are you?
Who are you?
Kind of like, I'm just minding my business.
Exactly. And so it's just like this, exactly. I got that.
Yeah, and they have a short afro, no jewelry or anything, short afro. Mm-hmm. Really deep eyes.
Yeah.
And then you put over it, you said like this gold crown or helmet.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the Valkyrie crown.
Yeah.
Maybe a month or two prior to working with them, I started to really lean into gold leafing.
Okay.
And
what is gold leafing?
So gold leaf is it's like 24 karat gold.
Mm-hmm.
Super, super thin, I can't say paper, but it's this hyper fragile material that honestly, when you pick up a sheet of it, it might blow away in your hand, even if you're in a still room.
I saw a video of you working with it too.
Yeah.
And like with your hands. Yeah.
And so I wanted to blend these two things together using this original piece that I have.
Mm-hmm.
So my original art piece, and then overlaying it with a Valkyrie crown. I work with Magnolia Editions always to do prints.
Okay, and Magnolia Editions, what is
that? Magnolia Editions is an institution in Oakland. They are so renowned and amazing, amazing team there, but they create incredible works on canvas.
Okay.
So if you have an image, you can print it on canvas. You can print it on, honestly, anything, on tile, on anything.
Okay.
I print with them all the time. And so I printed this digital image that I created, and then I came in over that print and laid gold leaf over the crown.
Yeah, it was beautiful how you accented that original piece with that gold crown. It turned into a completely different piece. Yeah, as I'm looking at the original without the crown, and then I'm comparing it to it with the crown.
Yeah.
The knife palette, that was one of the things that interested me about you, is that you use knives. I can see it in the pieces. I can really see it in the originals. Like, I could tell you use some kind of knife, a spatula or something. Explain to us, what is a knife, using a knife palette? I know you don't just use artistic knives. I know you use, like, knives. I can see how, like, there's a blade involved.
Yeah.
Like, look at the strokes on the pieces. So talk about, I didn't even know about that. So
yeah.
Please.
Yeah, absolutely.
School.
I will school you, because this actually comes back to school for me. I have only taken one art class in my life, and I'm... Other than that one art class in high school, I'm completely self-taught. But during that time, I was asked to create 13 pieces in a semester. And I'm a really meticulous person.
Okay.
And I realized if I have to create 13 pieces, I can't do that unless I'm just like basically finger painting or like moving really quickly and boldly. And so my professor at the time, Orlando Leyba, he introduced me to a palette knife. And he was like, you will not be able to be precise with this, but you can work large and you can work quickly. And so I picked up a palette knife and I picked up really thick paint.
And it's just like a flat, from what I saw, it's like a flat knife, right?
Yeah.
It's with a handle.
Exactly, with a handle. And it basically doesn't allow you to get nitty gritty, but big gestural movements.
And it's not sharp, right?
It's sharp.
Oh, it is sharp.
I've cut myself so many times with it, but is sharp. But then I started to realize, like, once I recognized that this was my tool of choice and was proficient in it, I started picking up different types of knives and started painting with those because curves on, say, if you have like a certain kind of cutting knife or like a butcher knife is like super straight or whatever it is, like you can kind of use anything, but it just creates this like seamless fluid pass on pieces. And I just loved it because you could cover so much area in zero time.
Will you do a whole painting with the knives? Or?
I will do the first layer. All of my work is about layering. I do so many layers in pieces is because I want to show skin, specifically black skin, black and brown skin, in a layered way to exemplify the person that I'm actually painting.
And you paint black women from Oakland too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I thought when I talked to you about that, you were like, that's important to you.
Oh, it's so
like,
important.
I'm looking
to
at
me.
A picture of Joyce Gordon.
Yeah.
Like Joyce Gordon Gallery.
Yeah.
Definitely a legend and icon in Oakland. Why are you so interested in portraying black women from Oakland?
Oh my gosh. So I went to school at USF at the University of San Francisco for architecture, and I kind of got priced out of San Francisco, came to Oakland, and immediately setting foot here, I just felt such an extreme sense of community here and neighborliness, I guess. and I realized that like the women that I was like encountering all wanted to like kind of take me under their wing. And so when I knew I was going to leave my firm, I wanted to make a point about highlighting the black women in Oakland who I really admired.
Well, I feel seen. Thank you for making us feel seen.
Thank you. I really appreciate this, and I really appreciate your questions. They're incredibly thoughtful, and this has been really wonderful.
Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you.
That was painter Taylor Smalls. After the show, visit my Instagram page at janae.darton to see a video I shot of Taylor's art studio. And you can also visit the Sights and Sounds page where we'll have a link for you to learn more about her work. Again, this interview first aired in September of 2025. Next up, an artist shows love to Muni drivers, one drawing at a time. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Sights and Sounds Show with me, Janae Darden. I love and appreciate our Bay Area bus drivers so much. It's not an easy job, but they get us to where we need to be. And for artist Kurt Schwartzman, one bus driver did more than that when he was homeless. She was a catalyst that later led to Kurt getting off of the streets. Kurt draws these bright and colorful portraits of Muni drivers, buses, and the streets of San Francisco, and his fashion is just as bright as his work. In this interview that first aired in July of 2025, I chatted with Kurt Schwartzman about his artistry and style that makes people smile.
Hey, thank you for having me. Great to be here.
Before we even just kick off into the interview, just really, you know, dive deep, you have put a smile on my face with your fashion.
Yeah.
That, like, when I noticed the fashion the first time I saw you. So for people listening, so Kurt and I, we got something in common. We love the bus. We're bus riders. We love the bus. Mm-hmm. And so you have on a Muni, a brown cap with the Muni logo on it. And you have this gorgeous, beautiful, bright, multicolored jacket. It almost looks like a sunset because there's pinks and oranges and browns, and then you have this brown t-shirt with a Muni logo on it, and then you have some, as you called, your hippie flower yeah. child pants. So yeah, so Curtis Stylish, and he has a patch on his eye, which is for his disability. However, it works with his style.
Yes, thank you.
Did I get it right?
You got it right, but you forgot to mention my shoes.
Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hello! And then hello. He got bright yellow bus shoes.
Yeah.
With a matching backpack. Okay.
Okay. Right.
So now that we painted the picture, well, first of all, where did you get your style from?
So I get my style from online. There's a company called MrTurk.com.
Okay.
And they sell a lot of blazers that are full of color, quality, and they embrace color. They embrace bold.
Yeah.
So.
Were you always someone who embraced color? Because I know for some people, like, I like wearing bright colors, too, right. even though I don't have on any right now. But some people, they're scared to wear bright colors, but you are, like, all out with it.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, I started picking clothing that embraced colorful, bold solids.
Yeah.
And so it was quite a leap. And you're right. I do hear people say, wow, I wish I could wear colors. Like, well, you can. Just put it on as I go outside and spread the love.
Well, definitely it put a smile on my face. It must make other people smile, too,
yes,
to see.
Yes, it does.
I can see that. So, again, you know, you have this incredible story, you know, as far as this bus driver.
Yes.
So tell us, how did this bus driver help you? How did they change your life?
Okay, well, I was homeless in 2007. I'd been wandering the streets. Sometimes I felt like a rat in a maze, always moving but really going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular early morning hour, I wandered over to the 52 Night Owl bus stop, sat down. I was just tired of walking. And the bus rolled up, and the doors opened, and the driver said, "Come on aboard." I'm like, "I can't. I don't have any money for the fare." And she said, "Come on aboard anyways. Keep me company."
Oh.
And it was the first time in days where somebody had seen me.
Mm.
Being homeless felt transparent at times, or worse, I was in society's way.
Mm.
And this bus driver saw me and invited me in. And I boarded her bus, and I looked her in the eye, and I said, "Thank you. Thank you for seeing me." And I wish I would have gotten her name, because here it is years later, if I had her name, I could go find her and say thank you for changing the direction of my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it was, I'm very grateful.
So first of all, that's just a touching story. You know, I end my show every episode with take care of yourself and take care of each other. And that's why when I hear things like that, because it makes a difference when we look out for each other.
It does. Well, I went from being outside the bus to being inside the bus, where I was safe and warm.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What was it about that transaction, or just the interaction with that driver, that led you to, I guess, getting yourself together?
Right. I was homeless for about 6 months, living on the streets of San Francisco for about 6 months. And when she saw me, I remember days after that, I was, I started reaching out to my social worker and started volunteering. Because of her kindness, it transformed me into thinking, hey, how can I get out of this?
Yeah.
So
just feeling seen is, and you know, that's what, to me, that's what artists do. Like, they help us, you know, feel seen.
Right.
And I feel like your work, in a sense, does that. Well, definitely,
well, you.
Your work helps Muni drivers and other bus drivers feel seen. So go ahead.
After that bus driver, many years later in 2015, when I was taking art classes at Fort Mason City College campus, one of the assignments was to create a series. So I created a series in honor of all Muni operators, because they work very hard and they're underappreciated.
Yes, they do work hard.
And the series I'm working on now is Portraits of Muni Service. And that's when I board a bus with my art supplies, and I sit down, I look for the driver's eyes in their rearview mirror. As soon as I find their eyes, I draw their eyes. And then I draw their nose and their mouth, and I draw their portrait.
Yeah.
Then I build the composition around their image.
Wow. So how did they react when they see you?
Well, it's like, is it
do they see you draw?
Yeah. Well, okay. sometimes they're like, they're looking at me and I'm looking at them and trying not to distract them because they're driving the bus.
Right.
Although sometimes they want to talk. And I'll ask them questions like, well, why did you choose Muni to work for? And how long have you been driving? Mm. And you're driving excellent. It's like, we're all on this bus and we trust you.
Right.
So it's like, hey, thank you for your service.
Yeah, and especially too when they're going up those hills.
Oh, yeah. The hills, yeah. In fact, I met this one driver on the One California, and her name was Nicole,
okay.
N-I-K-O-L.
Okay.
She had this big smile, and it turns out she had only been driving for 2 weeks. And it was like, and she was climbing those hills and going down those really steep, not inclines, but declines.
Yeah.
And at the end of the line, I put my drawing in a frame and I handed it to her and I said, thank you for your service. You matter. You are appreciated. And the energy that's created from just a random act of kindness,
yes.
it's electric. It's tight. To me, it's like pure white light love.
Yeah. I can imagine how she felt, especially because she was a rookie. And,
right. Yeah. I could have sworn she'd been driving for like 30 years because she was just a natural.
She was a natural.
Yeah.
Wow. I've been on the bus with like AC Transit drivers and they're new. And I know that's, you know, it can be scary. And when I get off the bus, I thank them and I'm like, keep going.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Actually, I think a lot of it is. Well, I don't like to use the word should, so I'll just simply say it'd be helpful for the drivers to hear, thank you, driver.
Yeah.
So when you step off the bus, try to say out loud, thank you, driver, or thank you, operator.
I definitely do that. Is there any story you could like that may come to mind of just when you gave someone a portrait? Because I know I would feel touched, like to see something,
right.
like to experience that.
Well, pretty much I do have a few drivers, like... I met this driver named Rico Suave. His real name is not Rico Suave.
Okay.
But when I boarded his bus and I started drawing his portrait, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm drawing. He goes, what are you drawing? I said, I'm drawing your portrait in the rearview mirror. He goes, well, you can call me Rico. I said, Rico? He goes, Rico Suave.
Okay.
And he has a big personality. He'd been driving for 25 years or so. And he was touched, and I was touched. And I do it from the kindness of my heart.
Yeah.
I'm not handing them just a piece of paper. I'm putting it in a frame so then they can take it home and, you know enjoy it.
Yeah. So. Now, I have a question, because I know you're blind in your left eye.
Correct.
So how does that impact as far as...
Right.
With, and your art, and again, I love your artwork. It's
Thank
so
you.
Colorful. And like I said, I love the bus. I love the streets. It's just so community. I just love it. It's just the people, the community.
Yes. You know? It's the Muni. It's the community within Muni.
Yes.
The Muni within community.
There you go. No, right, and you and you capture that so much. So like, how does that affect you as far as when you're drawing?
So what I learned from taking... beginning, intermediate, and advanced drawing classes is I see in 2D, whereas if you have two eyes, you see in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
So seeing in 2D, I see the world as flat.
Okay.
And when I'm drawing, that helps me distinguish sight, measuring. It helps, it makes drawing much easier and simpler.
Okay.
So I use it to my advantage. Because when I'm drawing a portrait, I can easily exclude everybody on my left side.
Yeah.
So all I'm seeing is you,
or
the person in front of me.
Okay.
So it makes it easier.
Okay, so there's an advantage.
Yes.
If you're just joining us, I'm speaking with artist Kurt Schwartzman, and he has a line of his cards on sale at the San Francisco Market Street Railway Museum gift shop, and he draws and creates so many beautiful images of Muni and the streets of San Francisco. Now, you're not paid by Muni. You're not partnered with Muni.
I'm a Muni lover. I'm all about supporting Muni in a way that I honestly think that in this day and age with the driverless cars, that we need a heartbeat behind the wheel. So I like to come up with a slogan for, if Muni's going to be hiring operators, how about this? Be the heartbeat behind the wheel. We need you.
All right, somebody from Muni listening. Okay.
All right.
And pay them. Well, you know, a lot of people are concerned about that, right? As you know, we're looking at Waymos, and,
right.
you know, and we talked about this earlier, just the importance of having that human connection, because,
you know, just how that bus stopped for you.
Right.
That bus driver stopped for you, and you needed you needed a human.
Right.
You know, a human connection.
Yeah, and also I think humanity is very important. It's like I think there's room on the road for all of us, but we need all of us there. It can't just be robots and driverless. We need human, the human touch.
And I'm also touched, speaking of human touch, I'm also touched by your artwork of the streets of San Francisco. And what's powerful to me about your story is that, you know, there was a time when you were living on the streets.
Correct.
And I can only imagine how hard that is.
It was hard.
And right now, the image of the streets of San Francisco in our media is not good.
I hear you.
And you draw these beautiful pictures of the streets of San Francisco, and they are so colorful, just reflecting to me the colorful vibrancy of the city.
Right.
Yeah.
So with my Streets of San Francisco, the format is 11 inches long, 30 inches wide, and that's the size of a bus ad. And so it's like when you're sitting inside the bus and you're reading all those ads, I have envisioned one day I'm going to have enough drawings to fill the bus.
Yeah.
So you can, like, see all my work in one bus.
Oh, that would be so cool. That would be cool.
Yeah. And so I love drawing, like, standing at the top of California and looking all the way down to the bay. It's amazing how you can, like, stand there and see sailboats floating by at the very end, like, down past the Embarcadero.
Yeah. So what do you see as an artist? Like, what is it about? I mean, I know, too, just San Francisco is hilly. I'm just saying, like, as an artist, what do you like about creating these images of the streets of San Francisco?
Right. Well, for me, I love San Francisco. San Francisco is home to me like no other place has ever been.
And you're from Fresno.
Yes, I am. And Fresno is a great place to be from. It's Fresno. Yes, I'm all about celebrating my hometown. And so, but San Francisco, when I moved here in the 90s, I moved here to live my life authentically. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of love for our city, for the people, the weather, and our beautiful streets.
Yeah. Okay, so since you are a professional expert muni writer, what are some of your most, like, scenic, you know,
scenic routes?
Yeah, scenic routes. Because sometimes, okay, I got lost. I was at Stern Grove, and the bus driver, because they had to shut down, like, some of the muni rail, and so they had to redivert buses, and the bus driver got lost, and so we were riding in circles on Twin Peaks.
Wow.
And nobody could...
That must have been the 37 Corbett, I think.
And nobody complained. We were kind of like, it was like a beautiful, you know, view.
Yeah, it's a scenic ride.
Right.
Yeah,
so what's your favorite scenic ride?
One of my favorites is the one in California, because it has beautiful views of the Transamerica Pyramid, which I believe is the most beautiful skyscraper in San Francisco.
And you definitely show that in your image that you made of that.
Yeah. And also the 22 Fillmore. It's like that route, it goes through many different neighborhoods and goes clear out to the bay, which is gorgeous.
Okay. So I have to make a mental note for that. So you're a retired chef and baker.
A pastry chef.
Pastry chef. Okay. And baker. And you brought us some cookies.
Yes.
You brought us some chocolate chip caramel cookies.
Yes.
So not only does he put love in his art, ladies and gentlemen and peoples, he put love in his cooking.
Yes. Because you know what? Being a baker, I learned it's the kiss at the end of every meal. So the cookies I brought you is made from love and for all you guys that I love so much.
Well, I felt that love definitely, again, in the cookies. They're so, so good. Real quick, we have like maybe 30 seconds. What are you working on? Anything you want people to know about?
Okay, so I'm putting my fashion together. I love my style. I'm learning about color and how embracing it just lightens up my world and the world around. So I bought a lot of my clothes at themunistore.com.
Okay.
And also the San Francisco Market Street Railway Museum gift shop.
Yes.
And Fluvog Shoes, FLUEVOG.com.
Okay.
And their shoes are unique, quality, and the brand is about love and support.
Okay, so that's what, if we want to copy you, then that's where we can go.
Yes.
Get our style.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know if you were saying, like, you might have your own line of clothing.
Maybe someday.
I can see it. I can see it. Kurt, you are a person I could tell, or I could just say, that makes me love San Francisco.
I love the people here, and thank you so much for having me here. I'm having a ball.
That was
was artist Kurt Schwartzman. Check out his artwork on his website, yellowlineart.com. Again, this interview first aired in July of 2025, and Kurt surprised me with the picture he drew of me behind the mic in the studios here at KLW. I love that drawing so much. It's hanging in my home, and I look at it every day. So I want to thank him again for that great piece and for his kindness. Thank you so much, Kurt. And you can see the picture on my Instagram at janae.darden. That's all the time we have for the Sights and Sounds show with me, Janae Darden. Thank you to our show producer, Porfirio Wrangle, our board operator, Damian Miner, and our director of audio programming, David Boyer. And thank you for tuning in. We'll have another great show for you right here next Wednesday at 4 p.m. Until then, be good to yourselves and be good to each other.